Welcome. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host for this hour, Peter Pastor, host of Listening Lyrics, right here on KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Today, I have a guest with me that is going to spend some time here talking about his career, his music. But before I introduce him, I want to ask you, you folks out there, did you recognize the song I opened up with? You know, I heard that last week and I couldn't place it. And it's the Beatles, called "Flying" from their
Magical Mystery Tour
album. Right, right. So my guest right away said something I did not know, and that is, it's their only instrumental. Amazing. Welcome, Andrew Potter.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having
me. So much closer, please. Okay, sure. There you go. So Andrew is a fingerstyle guitarist, piano player, and singer-songwriter, performer of eclectic mix of original folk, blues, rock, and jazz tunes and instrumentals. Look at that. You're right there with the Beatles doing instrumentals, huh?
I've done an awful lot of instrumentals over my career.
Okay. He performs the shows at bars, clubs, hotels, and lots of other venues in, of all places, New England and the San Francisco Bay Area. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So just to continue a little bit, it says you are... use a lot of, and I'm gonna. I had trouble figuring out this word, syncopated.
Oh, syncopation.
Syncopation.
Yeah, yeah.
So, syncopation, fingerstyle guitar work. Now, if I recall, that's something to do with rhythm.
Yes, syncopation has a lot to do with rhythm. And if I can remember, I had a friend of mine give me a great definition of it. And syncopation is where you put the accent where the downbeat ain't. So you don't accent the downbeat, you accent the upbeat. And it's a little, that's one way of describing it. If you were to listen to it, you know, you would understand it a little bit better.
We're going to listen to it.
Okay, well, no one's ever called me on it. So I hope I can explain it away.
Well, this is live radio, and you have your guitar, right?
I do.
So could you just do a little finger picking and then show us what that is?
Sure.
This is, all of a sudden, we're an educational program here.
So
we're going to do a little finger picking, or a finger style, I should say.
Yeah, I like finger style better than picking. It conjures up picking and grinning, which is not quite how I like to think about it. You can hear that at guitar, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, this is one of my tunes off of my first album. I'll just pick through it a little bit.
Okay.
Or I could do the whole tune, up to you. But the riff kind of goes, the blues riff kind of goes like this.
Nice. Okay, now let's do a little syncopation.
Well, What I mean by that is, you know, rock has a very heavy downbeat. It's kind of like, and this is more, and there's other things to call this, but I sort of think of more of as a, so that up that more accented note is on the upbeat. As opposed to
what genre would that be used in?
Is that it's used in a lot of jazz.
Okay,
and I don't want to pontificate too much about this because I'm self-taught. So
the best kind.
I know all of this stuff, or I don't know all this stuff, kind of intuitively. So I can't always line it up with the actual rules and regulations of the music world, but I try.
So I compared you to the Beatles because you do instrumentals, and we played the only one they did. But now you mention you're self-taught. Weren't all the Beatles self-taught?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, so you're in good company.
Well, yes, me and the Beatles, that's right.
There you go. Okay, so where were you born, actually?
I was born in Rhode Island. That is my primary residence is in Rhode Island.
Okay, and but you know people here then, if you come here back and forth?
I do. I spent a good portion of, well, almost all of the 80s and the early 90s in living in San Francisco.
Okay.
And, well, the story behind that is I was working, I went to the University of Rhode Island, where I met two of the most influential people in my life. One is my wife, and the other is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Wheeler Cole, who also went to URI. And we started working together in kind of a vaudeville act.
Okay.
We Wheeler was a mime artist, and he studied with the great Michael Grando from Providence. And I arrived at URI, and Wheeler heard me playing music, and he said, "Hey, that's great," you know. And we got to be friends, and he started showing me what he was doing, and he would write these mime skits, and I thought they were fascinating, so I started writing music to them, instrumental music, because I had done a lot of instrumental playing on the guitar.
Right.
And we just started snowballing this, and we just started working up a repertoire of mime and music skits.
Okay.
And we started getting gigs around campus. And that kind of piqued our attention because, you know, otherwise we weren't quite really sure what we were going to do.
Right.
And then I got a job, a summer stock job for a children's theater company playing music. I had played them an old jazz tune. Called Never Swat a Fly. It's the 20s jazz tune. And the director just loved it, and he was able to turn it into a song and dance routine.
Whoa.
And
now you are talking vaudeville.
So I took this job, and there were five of us, and I was the musician, and we had two women who were dancers and two men who were gymnastics.
Right.
And we would write these shows and work off the back of a big truck and go around the state and perform these shows for kids.
Right. Oh.
And it was a circus-themed theater, children's theater. It was called Circus Wagon Theater. So I started getting into juggling, and I started getting into riding unicycle. And then I did that over the course of the summer, where I got paid to travel around the state and do all these gigs. And I came back to URI, and I just absolutely loved it and said, I have to find a way to continue doing this. So my partner, Mr. Wheeler Cole at the time, we were still doing music and mime, and then we just started adding circus skills to our act.
Okay.
And by this time, it was an act. We called ourselves the High Street Circus. And there's based on a friend who lived on a street nearby, High Street. And then the thing kind of snowballed where I would go in the summertime. I'd work the summer stock and travel around and meet a lot of other performers. And then we go back to URI and develop our vaudeville act. This was in the 70s, the late 70s.
Okay.
So, and that snowballed up to and through my senior year. And in my senior year, we had met the nationally touring juggling act, the Flying Karamazov Brothers. Well, they were quite popular back then, and even all through the 80s and 90s, and still today. And they were an incredible juggling act, and they told us that they started on the streets of San Francisco. And we kind of went, bing, and said, okay, what do you think? Let's try that. So we came out to San Francisco, unannounced, so to speak.
Right.
And we got into the scene down at Fisherman's Wharf.
Right.
And after a couple years, our act took off. And before we knew it, we were doing comedy juggling shows all over the city, all over the state, various gigs around California. And then our big gigs we had a bunch of gigs in Japan.
Oh.
So we ended up by doing half a dozen tours of Japan.
Okay.
And this went all the way through the 80s into the early 90s. And it was fabulous experience and fabulous fun. And it was mostly comedy juggling and circus skills. We did a little bit of music.
Right.
And at the end of that run, well, you know, it's very strenuous work.
Right.
And I was, you know, well into my 30s by then, and I kind of decided that I'm not sure I wanted to be careening around on a 6-foot unicycle in my 40s.
Whoa.
So I quit.
And here you are.
Well, that was also. I still had a lot of years to go through. But long story short, what happened eventually is I got back together with my old vaudeville partner, okay, Mr. Cole, and we started songwriting together.
Ah.
And he is a very creative person, a very good writer. He's a fabulous photographer, and you can tell by the imagery that he conjures in his lyrics.
Okay.
And we just started writing songs together. And again, I would supply the music, and he would supply, you know, I would supply 90% of the music. He would supply about 90% of the lyrics. And the last 10%, we would kind of duke out. You know, we'd have the discussion about, you know, what worked and doesn't
right.
work and where it was going and so forth. And we ended up writing we wrote about a song a month for 3 years.
Okay.
And at the end of the first year, I thought, wow, this is really good stuff. I really like this. And he was able to add something that I could not do, which was come up with compelling lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
And he really could come up with compelling lyrics. So we just started the songwriting process. And I thought, oh, what fun. I think maybe I'll record a CD.
There you go.
And which started the rabbit hole, hole of the journey
of
which I'm still on.
So I'd like to just play one of your songs here just to introduce the listeners to your recorded stuff,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But before I do that, just in case some people have to run to the grocery store or something, you're going to be performing at Morgan's Mill tonight.
That's correct.
Right.
That's right. It's a 7 o'clock show. I'm doing 7 to 9, and I'll be doing a bunch of songs from my first album,
right.
and that's on the acoustic guitar. And then I'll be doing a bunch of songs from my second album,
okay.
which I just released about a month ago,
right.
and that is on the piano.
Oh, okay. So the one I picked, and tell me, I can change this, but I really liked I Haunt My Own House.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the title track, so
okay.
That would be a good one to start
Let's
with.
Let's do it.
Dark rain blows against the house. It rattles the windows inside. A man made of smoke in the dim hallway light, humming about knowing he died. And he looked at my hands with his eyes far away, seeming to have something say. At the end of a man, I now understand. Death is time travel, you see. And the ghost in the hallway is me. Lessons I knew all along. Like strive to be kind, 'cause we don't have much time to hold on to the hands that we love. And never miss a chance to ask someone to dance, particularly if they're not brave enough. I haunt my own house, it ain't really bad. My spooky self keeps me company. My house, it haunts me, don't think that it's sad. It's just a death fulfilling destiny. Sneaky, ironic, should be a tonic. Slipped into our coffins for free. But don't worry, Jack, when we all come back, we'll keep our younger selves company. I haunt my own house. Thank you.
And there we have it. I Haunt My Own House, Andrew Potter. So, Andrew, tell us just a tidbit about that song.
That was a piece of music that I wrote in my dorm room in around 1977.
Whoa.
And so the process was I had written a lot of instrumentals. And when Wheeler Cole and I started writing together, I would go back through my repertoire and find a piece of music that I had written. And then I would give it to him and see what he could do.
Right.
And he came up with some ideas. And one of the things that it did, which is actually really helpful, is when I was writing instrumentals, you know, they didn't really have much structure because they didn't have to.
Right, right.
But when you turn it into a song, it's got to have a little more structure.
Exactly.
So it forced me to turn my music and makes it a little more structural. So now it's, instead of just kind of going on and on and on, now it's verse, verse, chorus,
right,
you know, and then I get into that. And that really, really helped the music. And I don't recall actually how he came upon this theme of I Haunt My Own House.
Right.
But he did. And I said, sounds good to me.
All righty. So let's have you play one live for us. Which one is this going to be?
All right. Since I started already, I'll do Lunchbox. Lunchbox. Lunchbox, it's the blues tune that I just started a minute ago. And it's a song about the joys of making my wife a sandwich.
Making your wife a sandwich.
That's right. It's the joys of making my wife.
What kind of sandwich?
A sandwich, a peanut butter sandwich.
Ooh, okay.
And the other notable that I like to spout about on this song is I recorded this in Rhode Island. And because I had never recorded an album before, I recorded all my parts first, guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
And then I decided, well, let's see if we can expand this and make a band out of it. And I started bringing in players, and I brought in a rhythm section. One of the last players I brought in, and it took me that long because it took me that long to work up the nerve, is I invited the great Duke Robillard to play on this tune, who is an internationally known blues player who happens to live in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So he came and he played on this particular song, and he did a great job with it along with the rest of the players. But this is the solo version. This is Lunchbox.
Thank you.
Judith gets up, climbs aboard the morning train. A pink umbrella, radio says, one kiss goodbye every morning the same. Inside a lunchbox, you got a little piece of my heart. Inside a lunchbox, you got a little piece of my heart. I'm hollow inside every time we're apart. That don't do me no good. When she ain't home, candy tastes like it's wood. I'd change my tune, but I don't even know if I could. Inside a lunchbox, you got a little piece of my heart. Inside a lunchbox, you got a little piece of my heart. I'm home singing the Lunchbox Blues. My love lives next to a PB&J. trouble coping today. If it seems kind of strange, well, that's love. What can I say?
Nicely
there it is.
Done. Nicely done. So I have to ask, smooth or crunchy?
Crunchy. Like my playing, crunchy.
Okay. Listen, I'm watching you play here and pick with your fingers. So how meticulous do you take care of your fingernails?
Well, it's a big problem because I am very meticulous about my fingernails, but I can't save them. I shred them all the time. And I've tried many things. My thumbnail is nice and thick, so that doesn't break. But I right. play with three fingers on the right hand.
Right.
And I try and keep my nails long because I don't use finger picks anymore. I used to use finger picks.
Right.
But what I decided is when I just go with my fingers, I kind of do a combination of picking, which is kind of soft. And the other thing I do is kind of more like plucking, which is more like...
Yeah.
It's much more...
Yeah.
And you can't do that with finger picks.
So, let's see. Do you eat a lot of gelatin and that kind of stuff?
Well, I've had a couple things. I tried nail polish
for
a long time.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, no, crazy glue. And I said, crazy glue? That's a great idea. So I tried crazy glue. You got to be careful you don't stick your fingernails fingers together. And that doesn't work. And then I had a classical guitar player tell me about guitar playing nails. You can buy fake nails.
Oh.
And you can put those on. And I actually tried fake nails. I went into the spa and got some nails done. And it was kind of funny because I said, I just need three nails on my right hand, please.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Just
three nails on my right hand. Okay. And I said, Zeb, have you ever had a guy come in here and ask you for fingernails, fake fingernails before?
Yeah.
And she kind of said, well, not a straight guy.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And but those didn't work because they were too hard. They were too strong, too harsh.
Okay.
And so you got to go between using the nails, and if you want to be soft, you use the pads of your fingers. And then lastly, I'm trying a thing. There's another folk singer told me about taking biotin. It's vitamin B.
Oh.
And if you take vitamin B, it's supposed to strengthen your fingernails. So I've been taking that, and I still shred my nails.
And then the length of them, you have to keep an eye on that.
Well,
not too long, not too short.
They are too short because
shredding them. Yeah, okay.
So then I have to wait for them to grow back.
All righty. Let's first of all go back just a little bit. You're online where? So people can look you up.
I have a website, AndrewPotterMusic.com.
Okay.
I have a presence on Spotify.
Okay.
All my albums are on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
They're on all the streaming services.
Okay.
If the service that I use did it properly.
Yes.
I have a YouTube channel with some videos on them, and I also make music videos out of some of my songs. And in fact, I made a video out of Lunchbox, which is one of my favorite, because it features me singing and dancing and cleaning house in my underwear.
Oh,
which
interesting.
Well, it's very stylish underwear, and I'm a very modest performer, so I am also wearing an apron. But singing and dancing and cleaning house. Because it just happens to go along with the theme.
And tonight you're going to be at Morgan's Mill, which is in Woodland on Court Street. Yes, it is on Court Street. And you're performing there from 7 to 9. If you haven't been to Morgan's Mill, it's a very nice, almost intimate place. But I think you're playing, I don't know where you're playing in that. They have an indoor, they have a patio.
I'm playing indoors.
Yeah, well, the patio's covered, and they have heat in there, so that could also be indoors.
Well, that could
be. I don't know. But anyways, you're going to be there. They have all sorts of – they have beer, they have wine, they have sandwiches. So you can enjoy yourself while you're there. Don't Let the Rain Stop You. Don't Let the Rain Stop You. You know, do you have any rain songs?
Rain songs.
Rain songs, yeah. While you're thinking about that, I have an announcement to make. You know, we're sitting here talking with Andrew, but on Monday, February 3rd, from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KDRT, we are having John McEwen on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Gritty Dirt Man, John
you
McEwen.
Got it. You got it. He's an American musician, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, best known for the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. He's I'm sure he's won some Grammys or involved in the Grammys. And I think Steve Martin, one or two of his bluesgrass albums he produced. Well, anyways, he is playing around here. There's like a festival up in the foothills that he's going to be playing at this coming week. So, anyways, he'll be right here. John McEwen, Rocky is going to interview him, and that's Monday the 3rd from 2 to 3, and I'm trying to think, what is the date today?
31.
Today's the 31st, so you're playing at Morgan's Mill the 31st. I'm saying that because this show's repeated next week a couple of times, and I wouldn't be happy if I drove to Morgan's Mill and there was no one playing.
No, that would be bad.
All right, that would be bad. Okay, do you want to play another one, or should we go to another recorded song?
Why don't you try another recorded one, and then I'll ponder about what to play next.
Okay, do you have one in mind that we can
play the next one up? Might as well dance.
You Might as Well Dance. Okay, I'm trying to find it. You Might as Well Dance. Okay, perfect. Here we go.
I woke up thinking how the world is sinking and things aren't going so well. The sun's still shining, so I ain't whining about a world that's going to hell. In our city, things aren't so pretty, and Congress is filled with clowns. In this strange air, but don't despair, as our ship is going down, and our ship is going down. Sneaking across the frozen lake, trying not to make it crack. Fall through, there's lights out for you, but you gotta take the chance, so you might as well dance. Bad mechanic on the Titanic, and duct tape just doesn't do. You try to plug the leak in while the crew is freaking and the lifeboats leave without you. When you scurry, it's so hard to worry about the things that you don't know. Listen to voices that make their choices based on a reality TV show, a bad reality TV show. Sneaking across the frozen lake, trying not to make it crack. For if you fall through, it's curtains for you, but you gotta take the chance, so you might as well dance. Out for you, but you gotta take the chance, so you might as well dance. You watch the politicians as they prance, and you might as well dance. Where's our savior from his bad behavior? Well, I got me and got mine. They can't suture up our future in our grandchildren's time. time. That's right, our grandchildren's time.
You might as well dance. You might as well dance. Yes, sirree. That, of course, is Andrew Potter. Oh, what have we got going on here? I had a song playing in the background. That wasn't good. In that song that we just played, you mentioned you should have, or you might have, or you must have politicians as friends. I picked up on that. Was that in that song?
Politicians as friends, not personally. No, in some of my songs, I do comment on certain. Themes going on in politics these days.
Right.
So that song, you know, when everything else fails, you might as well dance. So you might as well keep your chin up and despite what's happening.
Especially today.
Correct.
Especially today.
Correct.
Do you focus on political songs
And the reason I don't, I do have one. Political song. And the reason I don't, and Mr. Cole and I have discussed this, is because political songs are stuck in time.
Yes.
And so they get obsolete. And we want to write songs that have longer staying power. So we don't focus on political songs.
Okay. All righty. The Acme Theater Company right here in Davis, California, is a community troupe managed by local high school students. Were you involved in high school in music? I'm sure you were.
In high school, I sang in the chorus, and I did, of course, all the talent shows.
Okay. Acme gives all participants the opportunity to perform on stage, learn theater tech work, and develop leadership skills. For audition and performance information, or to offer your support, go to Acme Theater, and theater is spelled T-R-E instead of T-E-R, which is important, .net. And I'm sitting here talking with Andrew Potter, a guitarist from two places, I'm going to say, New England and the Bay Area. And we happen to catch him while he's close to the Bay Area, or in the Bay Area, and we're close to the Bay Area. Is this the first time you've ever driven from San Francisco to Davis?
It might be the first time in 30 years. But,
big changes.
Back in the day, we used to come up here all the time.
Yeah, we're almost to the point where one big city.
Yeah.
You know, almost to the point. My goodness. You mentioned also that you and your friend talk about, you know, one does lyrics, one does this. Do you fit the music to the lyrics, or the lyrics are fit to the music?
For the most part, the lyrics are fit to the music.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that Wheeler Cole, when we started writing, we wrote our first song together in 2019. And we had just had a meeting. We just finished taking a songwriting class together. And we had just had a meeting, and I got all excited, and I wrote a new piece of music and said, all right, give this a try. And I gave it to him, and I gave him a prompt, a theme, to write around. And he came back with something, and I thought, wow, that's really good. And not only was the imagery really good, but he did a really good job of matching the rhythm of my melody to his words.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I just said, wow, that's great. What else you got? And that kind of got it all started.
So we don't want to abuse your voice here, but we'll ask you to play one more song live in the studio, okay? But before before you do that, tell me, do you have any relatives in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, and the reason I ask is, back in the early 70s, I had a part-time job working for Potter Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was back in the day when the ladies or the men sat down and you got their shoes out of the storeroom and all of that. Potter shoes.
I recall those days.
Yes.
The closest I can come to is my father had a business in Baraboo, Wisconsin. It was a spice and herb business, and he was called Potters of Baraboo. This was in like 1950.
What a name. Yeah, wow.
Baraboo, Wisconsin.
What a name. What song have you got for us?
All right, so I'll play the song that I just referenced, the first song that Mr. Cole and I wrote together. And I had written a new piece of music, which, like a lot of music, was kind of based on another piece of music that
right.
came from another piece of music. And I figure if I can make a turnaround and nobody makes the connection, then I'm good. And so I wrote this tune, and I gave him a prompt. And the prompt was Lovelorn Gambler.
Oh.
That was all I said. And, you know, and he said, well, we're not going to call the song that. And I said, take her away,
yeah,
boss.
Go for
so
it.
So he wrote a song, and it came up, and it's called, it's the final tune on my first album. And it's also, it's a stripped-down tune because it's just me, and I have a stand-up bass player on it. So it's nice
okay.
and sparse. It's called The Ace of Diamonds. I often wonder if you think about me as I float down the lazy river, regretting how I lost your hand. Not sure a gambler's woman could understand. The ace of diamonds beat the queen of my heart. I bought it, I broke it, I missed the best part. On the way down, well, I cashed it all in. I lost your heart, betting I'd win. Empty liquor glass, soggy cigarettes. Nowhere the chips will fall, or don't place that bet. One card, two card, then the ace of diamonds, and I felt my poor heart fall. A bluff a blind man with that blank look. You eyed me up and down, you read me like a book. Always hold the ace close to your vest. You were a royal flush wearing a dress. Then I caught you smirking. Well, I knew I'd been made for good, for keeps. That's how the game is played. Now dating no one but this bottle of gin, I lost your heart betting I'd win. Liquor in my glass, well it tastes like regret. I'm sorry baby, I ain't over you yet. One card, two card, then the ace of diamonds, and I felt my poor heart fold. One card,
that's one of those songs that could just go on for a while, you know? It's nice, a nice rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar work is good, the lyrics, you know, it just sort of okay, keep going a little bit, you know.
We'll put in a clarinet break next time I get that.
Or harp.
Yeah, or
a harp. Yeah, a harp break.
Although I had put a piano in on this tune, and I gave him at the beginning and part of my break in the middle, I gave him part of that lead. And then he played it, and I thought about it, and I said, well, it's nice, but it's too much. This song, you know, is one of those songs where it's less is more.
Right.
So I took the piano out and just went with the stand-up bass, and I told the bass player, I said, okay, well, these two spots, the piano had the lead. He's gone, so now you can have the lead. The bass player can take the lead.
Okay.
And he said, no one's ever offered me a lead before.
Well, good.
And he did a really sweet job with it. It came out very, very nice. The last tune of my I Haunt My Own House album.
Nice, nice. Well said. Before we go on, I want to tell you about one show that is right on before me, and that is Audio Ecotone. Now, I can read all this stuff here, but I'm not going to because it's very the Audio Ecotone really has a nice way of selecting music that is sort of connected, but the music styles aren't connected, and it's fun to listen to. So that's every Friday I'm on from 4 to 5, so that would have been from 3 to 4. And today I think he had a theme going because of what's happening here. We have a Pineapple Express coming through here, and he had songs about rain. What could be better? Sit and listen to the rain. Take a nap in the rain.
Yes,
absolutely. Andrew Potter is sitting with me. He's playing some of his songs. We're going to play another one of his recorded songs. He'll be playing tonight at Morgan's Mill right here in Woodland, California. You know, right across the street from Morgan's Mill is a nice, very nice Mexican restaurant. By very nice, I mean good food, not high prices. Good food. And, come a little early and have some Mexican food and walk across the street. They might even offer you an umbrella. I don't know. But here we are. Andrew, we're going to play another one of your songs here. So let's just what would you like me to pull up here?
How about I think it's cut number 3, A Wooden Sailboat, it's called.
A Wooden Sailboat. Ooh, now wait a minute. A Wooden Sailboat. See more. Is that from... There it is. Okay, A Wooden Sailboat. What's this about?
This song has a little bit of family history. I grew up, of course, I live in Jamestown, Rhode Island, which is next to Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
Newport, Rhode Island is a big sailing town. My father was in the sailboat business.
Oh.
In the 50s and 60s, and he worked for a company called Pearson Yachts, and he developed some of the early cruising boats that put Pearson Yachts on the map as a premier boat builder back in the day. And so that so that's part of what inspired this song. And then Mr. Cole kind of took it off into a new direction. But it came out very, very nicely. A Wooden Sailboat.
Here we go.
Sailboat sliding through the waters, like watching a tree learning how to swim, with the sky and the sea kissing the horizon. Every story has a lesson as memories dim. The mast sings, I once stood in the forest, branches blowing with the heart of crows. Now the waves have become my mistress, following the stars off to where no one knows.
father's dreams, drew my bones on paper, a brother's hands molded wood to see. A boat builder's son searches for fair weather, scanning the waves ahead as far as he can see. Mass sings, I once stood in the forest with my brothers covered mountains vast. Then came the woodcutter searching for a century, and a tree became a story, the story now I'm back. If I could stand where I stood, quiet in the forest wide, would I return knowing all I've learned as the moon dances with the tide? The mask cries, I once grew as a seedling, born wild of heart before I had name. I've been scarred by a life of travel, but deep within my spirit still the same. A wooden sailboat gliding through the waters, like watching a tree learning how to swim. And a boat builder's son searches for fair weather, scanning the waves ahead as far as he can see. Scanning the waves ahead as far as he can see.
There we have it. A song that I would describe as a little bit of storytelling in it. And, you know, I've done this for now pushing 13 years. You're one of the first performers that just sat there and thoroughly enjoyed listening to one of your songs. You were into it.
Well.
You were into it. I mean, you're just sitting there closing your eyes like, yes, you know. Yes. Well, I don't know if you were thinking I should have done that different or I really like this. I don't know. But you were into it.
I am into it because, you know, this is still fairly new for me. I mean, I've been playing forever, but writing original songs and performing them, you know, especially with two albums out.
Right.
You know, I've only been doing that for 4 years.
Right.
So it's a lot of work, but, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. So
yeah, yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, okay. Here we are. That's right. Here we are. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. We've got about 6 minutes left, so I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
And before you go, though, I'm going to play one more, but I'm going to play what I like to do on my weekly radio show is, unfortunately, usually during the week, we lose someone that we all knew in the song business, in the music business. So this week, we lost someone, and I'll just play a snippet of The Ballad of Lucy Jordan. Does that ring a bell to you?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so. Yeah, of course, that's Marianne Faithfull. We lost her this week. You know, she had an interesting career. She was famous for not performing by who she dated and some of the people she hung out with. She was a girlfriend of Mick Jagger's. He gave her some songs to sing. As Tears Go By, she did a pretty good thing on it. She was in the movies. We lost her this week. So anyways, keeping Marianne Faithfull and her family in our minds, And she did leave us with some good music. And it's very interesting. You picked up right away. You didn't catch it at the beginning of the song, but once you heard her voice, you knew
once
who
I
it
heard
was.
Her voice, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, is there anything else you want to share with us? Let's go back one more time. You have your own website, so if people want to learn about you, and I looked at the website, it's very informative. All of his YouTube videos are on there, or
it's not
I don't
quite
know.
Up to date, but we're getting there. I am my own webmaster, and it's not my strong suit, so we'll get it up to date soon.
Okay. And let's see. You're going to be at Morgan's Mill tonight. So that's good. From 7 to 9. And it'll be you on your guitar.
And I'll do a set on the keyboard.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, good. Okay. And then where do you go from here? Where's your next gig after that?
Well, that's a fair question. You know, it's not easy going back and forth from coast to coast and getting gigs, so it takes a long time. I have a handful of gigs that I've done here in the Bay Area.
Right.
And I am now in the process of getting back to them and saying, have me again. And so my calendar here in the Bay Area is empty at the moment, but I think it'll fill
up. How did you end up at Morgan's Mill?
I knew of a performer who played here, and I checked out the venue.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, want to play here? Apply now. So yeah, yeah. I did.
It is a fun place.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, that they would do that, that have
right.
an outreach through their website
right.
that you can apply to.
Yeah, okay. And your new album is last year, right? Or this year?
It came out about a month ago.
Okay,
so we can call it 2025.
Right.
Underwater Palace, it's called.
Do you already have some tunes for the next album?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming. Let's see. We're going to pick another song here. Do you want to do one from your old album or the new one?
Do you have the new album there?
I have the new one, too.
Why don't you try the second tune, Downing Street.
Downing Street? No, that's Haunt My... In Haunt My...
Oh, no, Haunt's the first album.
Okay. Then we have to go back. And we can do that. We can go back. So this is from Underwater Palace?
Correct.
Okay. Downing Street. So now we're back into politics.
No, that was a misnomer.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us right here on KDRT. I appreciate it. You know, it's basically a two-way street. The radio station needs the artist to show something to the community, and you need a voice to be able to share it. But not everyone is that willing, and it's surprisingly.
That is surprising.
Yeah,
you know,
but it happens.
I'm very happy to come on here.
Right.
And would do it again in a minute.
Perfect. All righty. Thank you again. Andrew Potter, you can find him on many venues, but if you look under Andrew Potter and maybe type, are there more Andrew Potters in the world?
Well, there are.
Yeah, so just type music next to it or
Andrew
something.
AndrewPotterMusic.com.
We'll do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Here we go. We're going to go out with Downing Street by Andrew Potter. Diamond is behind the
tree.